Bibles with me, if you would please, tonight to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4 reminds you the book of John, the Gospel of John, was written that folks might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing they might have life through His name. And so in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit leads John to write so that people can know how to be saved. They can enter the family of God. When you come to the book of 1 John, he's writing to those who are saved. He's talking to them about how to enjoy the family of God. And one of the areas that John's going to deal with tonight is in the area of spiritual warfare. Do you realize, Christian, that you're in a battle tonight, that there is a warfare going on in this world, in your life? And if Satan cannot corrupt your life, he at least will be content to corrupt our minds. Did you know that? He doesn't want us to believe the truth. And you're going to find that John is going to deal with spiritual warfare in this matter of truth and error. And here's what he's going to say to these little children. He's going to call them beloved, and later on he's going to call them little children. And he's going to tell them this: don't believe everything you hear. Let's look, if we could please, in chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, a term of affection. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are, that means they're right now in his day, and of course as well as our day, gone out into the world. Hereby know ye, that as the idea of perceiving, to understand. Hereby know, you understand ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we, same word in verse number 2, to know, to understand, to perceive. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Don't believe everything that you hear. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you expose the lie. That, Lord, you expose satanic error, the spirit of Antichrist that permeates and pervades our land. Lord, that leads people to speak lies against the truth. And, Lord, they seek to lead believers, your children, away from the truth. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a discerning heart tonight. Lord, help us to understand from the Bible, your word, the litmus test of truth, that we might know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, that we might know who and what to hear and to believe. And Father, we'll thank you for that tonight. Guard our hearts, our minds, our lives. Help us to grow in your grace tonight. And Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, I pray they would come to know him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we want to talk to you tonight about this matter of testing the spirits. And so John is writing to little children, those who are born of God, and he's warning them against error. He's guarding them against the danger of spiritual gullibility, of being vulnerable to those that would teach something other than the truth of the Word of God. And here's what he's saying, that as Christians, we're not to believe everything they hear. Now, in that day, it would be preachers that are people that would claim to have a message from God that would come into the churches, or maybe they would be on the street corners or at some place. But pretty much, if you're going to hear anything in that day, it was going to be verbal, and some things would be written. They didn't have printing presses, didn't have books, you didn't have publishers in that day. But there would be manuscript letters that would be sent out and seek to lead people into error. But boy, I tell you, what about in our day? I mean, it can come from every corner. I mean, you can go to bookstores, television, radio, internet, I mean, social media, about anywhere you look, somebody has a platform and an audience to say what they want to say. And listen, I want to talk to you about social media and about Google and internet and all of that. Don't necessarily get your doctrine and what you believe by Googling something, all right? Most of the time, what you're going to find is not the truth of God. I couldn't tell you the number of Christians and the number of even young preachers that have been led astray because they began to search the internet for doctrinal truth or for answers rather than going to people that you can trust and depend on, that you know would stand in the pages of the Word of God. Hey, be careful what you read. Be careful what you hear. Be careful where you get your information, because it's everywhere, and Satan wants to lead us away from the truth and into error. And he's going to tell us that many false prophets are going out into the world. Not everybody out there carrying a Bible and claiming to be from God is from God. And so John says that we're not to believe every spirit, verse number one, but we're to try them. Now, there are two kinds of spirit in the world, all right? We see that in verse number 6. Would you look at the last phrase or last sentence of verse 6? Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I can promise you the spirit of truth is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. You say, preacher, how do I know that I have the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Friend, it's right here in the pages of the Word of God. This right here is what you know that you can depend on to know that when I open this book and I look into the page of this book and it's rightly understood, rightly interpreted, it is rightly discerned, I can know that God is speaking to me through the Spirit of God, through His Holy Spirit. And He's going to guide us into all truth. But now wait a minute, there's another spirit. Not every spirit is of God. So there is not only a spirit of truth, but there is a spirit of error, a source of anti-Christian teaching. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks of it as the spirit of Antichrist. That means, that word anti means instead of or opposed to. That here's what the world wants to do. They want to give you a Christ that's not the Christ of the Bible. They want to give you a doctrine that's not the truth of the Word of God. They want to give you a counterfeit, something that is different from what God actually says. It's instead of, and it's opposed to the person of Jesus Christ. Folks, can I tell you, those voices are all through our land tonight. They're everywhere we turn. I would recommend, once it comes out, during the Southwide Baptist Fellowship, Dr. Clarence Sexton preached a message on the spirit of Antichrist and the coming revival that's essential to our continuance, not only as Christians in America, but as a church. And it is a classic message dealing a little bit different than what I am tonight. I'm going to deal more with the text itself. He made some application that was unbelievable. And he was talking about this spirit of Antichrist that's in our world that would propagate the murdering of the unborn, that would propagate same-sex marriage and all of these things that we see. And he talked about how that these things aren't coming. Church, they're already here. They're banging against the door. They're working and they're already permeating our land. You can't even watch television without this stuff being crammed down your throat. The world is trying to desensitize you to that is perverse and wrong and sinful so that it does not bother you anymore. It makes it palatable, acceptable. Hey, everybody else, this church down the road believes it. This denomination believes it. What's the matter with you folks there at Calvary Baptist Church? Why don't you get with the program? Why do you have to be the people that stand against progress and movement? Why do you have to reach back there and hold on to antiquated things that we progressed on from? Why do you have to do that? That's exactly the pressure you're feeling. That's what your children are feeling. That's why, Mom and Dad, you need to be careful what they read and their social media platforms, because I'm telling you, while you were shaped many times by parents and church and environment and those around you and your thinking, can I tell you, and it's pretty much could be a little more controlled, your children are being formed by social media tonight. And many times, it's not the social media you're on. I'm amazed how even what us older folks might use Twitter and some of us Facebook, and I'm probably a little more Twitter user than Facebook and all of that, and all because a lot of my preacher friends are there, and we keep up with one another, encourage one another through that. But I'm amazed. I get tired of opening my phone or my iPad and them tell me what news I want or what I need to believe, or where I need to go, or how I need to think. I tell you what, I don't want to be controlled by the spirit of Antichrist that pervades this land. I want to be controlled by the Lord's Christ, the spirit of truth that's found in the pages of the Word of God. Amen. And you're going to have to decide what direction you're going to go in. And I can promise you tonight, as we move forward, if things continue to get darker and darker and darker in our land, you're continually going to be cutting against the grain and going upstream, and it's not always going to set well with the world around you. But we're going to have to decide whose side we're on tonight. Well, I tell you what, I want to be on the Lord's side. What about you? And so he talks about this spirit of Antichrist. Now we know that the Antichrist, the person, this man of sin, will come on the scene in a future day. That is an individual. That's not what John's talking about. He's not talking about the individual Antichrist. He's talking about the spirit of Antichrist. Satan is a counterfeiter. You know, the most dangerous lie is the most believable lie. As a matter of fact, it's closest to the truth. It might be a nugget of truth that's wrapped in a skin of a lie. And it would lead someone astray and away from the truth. It's amazing that he's transformed into an angel of light. His ministers have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. They pose as the real thing. The Lord warned us. He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." And listen, if these false teachers and preachers come in sheep's clothing, if they look like the truth but in reality are false, if outwardly they appear as real but inwardly they're the spirit of error, how can we know that they what is real and what is not real, what is true and what is error? How can we know that? And John tells us in verse number 1. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Don't you just swallow everything you hear. "But try the spirits whether they are of God." You need to examine them and put them to the test, John says. That word "try" is the idea of testing gold or silver to determine the genuineness of that metal, of that precious metal or whatever it might be, whether it's genuine, whether it's authentic or not. And God said, every person that I hear, every movement, everything out there, I need to be a discerning Christian who is testing and examining and proving all things, but I'm holding fast to that that's good. That's what he says. And notice, if you would please, that there's going to be three pronouns that's sort of going to guide our message tonight. All right, and you're going to find them in verses 4 through 6. Notice the first one in verse number 4 is the word "ye." Did you see that? "Ye are of God." He's talking there of the people of God. Look at verse number 5. "They are of the world." He's talking there about the false preachers, the false teachers. And then notice, if you would, down in verse number 6. "We are of God." Now that "we" there at that point, notice he says "ye are of God." He's talking to the church. He's talking to those that are believers, these little children that are born of God. In verse 6, "we are the apostles," the Lord's preachers that gave us the New Testament. "We are of God." That would be faithful preachers. So you got three groups of people here. You've got in verse number 5, verse number 4, you've got fearless people. In verse number 5, you have false prophets. And in verse number 6, you have faithful preachers. Now I'm going to sort of work that around a little bit different order, okay? First of all, I want to deal with the they, the false prophets. That is false is that's an imposter. That's pretending. That poses itself as being true and real, but it's not. And John tells us that many false prophets are gone out into the world, verse number 1. He tells us in verse number 5, "They are of the world." That means that they are not of God. Now, preacher, how do I test them? When I'm hearing somebody, how do I determine if they're false or not? How do I know? What's the test so that I can try them? Well, I'm glad you asked that. All right? Number one is the I'm going to get you to jot this down, letter A. It's the idea of theology. What they teach and what they believe. The content of their message. Listen, I don't care how charismatic they are. I don't care what charisma. I don't care how smooth they are in their delivery. I don't care how believable someone might seem to be. I want to examine the content of their message. Because what they say is going to reveal who they are. Can I tell you, you can do that in the world of politics. You have people get on there and they can say all kinds of stuff, but what you need to do is dig beneath the surface and find out, what do they really believe? What is it that drives them? Does it line up with the truths of the Word of God? You can do that in any area of life, and especially when it comes to spiritual things. And so the content, their theology, what they believe. Because many false prophets, they're going to say some things that are true. You know, I've sat and listened to some people that I know are false, and I'm amazed at some true things they'll say. They are. Matter of fact, I just got back from Utah that follows a man by the name of Joseph Smith and his cohort Brigham Young that came along after him. And we know that there's probably about 600 million around the world, 600 million people that follow what we would understand as Mormonism or the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And you know what? There's some things that they say that they say that's true. Do you know that they, when you dig beneath the surface, you find a little something different, but on the outside, their families look good. They don't believe in alcohol and drinking. They don't believe in cursing. They don't believe in a whole lot of things. You get around them and they can talk a pretty good line. I can remember Brother Barger and I was out there a couple years ago and we were in a particular store and there was a guy. You remember that guy? He was a Latter-day Saint priest. He was. I mean, this guy was big time in their church. You would have thought he's an independent Baptist. He talked to us just like he was one of us, but yet we knew, and we were sort of under our breath snickering, knowing that there wasn't a thing really that we had in common other than a few surface truths that he would sort of hang around in, because he didn't want us to get into the deep truths because he knew where we would go. And so they can speak a good line, but you have to dig beneath the surface and hear what they really have to say. And let me tell you where it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to what they say about Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, verse number 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. They're going to deny something of the person and life of Jesus Christ. Do you know that the Mormons have a Jesus? But he's not the Jesus of the Bible. I mentioned that in the last message I preached on this. He's not the same Jesus. They claim to believe in Jesus. They'll talk about believing in Jesus. They'll even talk about born-again experiences. They'll talk about being saved. And they'll use Bible, what we would understand as terminology. But their definitions, their content is different from that of the Bible. Hey, listen, their Jesus is the brother of the devil. It's a fact. Do you realize that there's others out here that they have a Jesus, but he's just a good man. And he taught some great principles, and he left us a great example. But I'll tell you what they won't tell you. They won't tell you he's the God-man. They'll have a lot of good things to say about Jesus Christ, but they won't be Bible truths about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't mind you believing in Jesus as long as it's not the Jesus of the Bible. And somewhere down the line, they're going to depart from the truth as it relates to his deity, or his sinless humanity, or his sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. But somewhere down the line, they're going to depart from the Jesus of the Bible. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. What do they say about Jesus Christ? And then I'm going to test them in the area of the Holy Spirit, what they believe about the Word of God. But can I tell you, there's somewhere down the line, they're going to teach something wrong about Jesus Christ. They deny the Lord that bought them. As a matter of fact, every spirit that confesseth not, every cult, every false religion will be in error concerning who Jesus Christ really is. He is the touchstone of correct doctrine and correct truth and being truthful in all matters of faith and practice. Listen, He is the belt of truth. When you put on the belt of truth, you're putting on the truth that is in Jesus Christ. It's in Him. But not only is it in the area of their theology, but I'm going to give you another one. It's a little more practical too. That's the area of their popularity. Look, if you would please, in verse number 5. They are of the world. You know what Jesus said? The world recognizes and receives its own. They do. Another mark of a false prophet is they're popular with the world. You know, I found men that stand up and preach the truth of God without compromise, they're not always very popular. They're not. Matter of fact, if everybody, I mean everybody is happy with me, out in the world, in our community, everybody's happy with me, I'm probably not doing my job. Because the Lord said, beware when everybody speaks well of you. He said, so did they, the false prophets. You see, the world doesn't mind somebody that lies to them, that makes them feel good, that tickles their ear. You know what? There's churches were filled all over America this morning where they went in and they had a little concert, or probably a big concert because it's more music than it is message. And then they got a little sermonette to make them feel good when he went out the door. Can I tell you, I hadn't always felt good when I left church. Have you? I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not a performer. I don't come to church on Sunday morning in my office early in the morning and say, God, help me to perform today. I say, God, would you hide me behind the cross and help me to preach today? Help me to say the truth. Not everybody's going to be happy with everything I say. Now, I want to say it in the right spirit. Sometimes you can say the right thing in the wrong way to make people mad, and that's not the truth's fault, that's the preacher's fault. Because he had a bad attitude or a wrong spirit when he preached it. Okay? And I'm not talking about an evil spirit, I'm talking about a wrong spirit in his own heart, a wrong attitude. And that's why, as a preacher, the attitude needs to be right. And the spirit of your attitude in which you preach it, compassionate and loving. I ask the Lord to help me to be a man of compassion without compromise. I want to be compassionate when I preach, but I don't want to be compromising when I preach. Because I'm going to tell you something. If I preach compromising, if I don't preach the truth of God as it is, I'm not going to help you. We're not going to grow together as a church. We're not going to be different. I don't want to remain the same. I don't want to be what I am. I want to be better. I want to be different than what I am right now. Hey, the world's seen enough of me. They need to see more of Him. Popularity. I mean, they've just got this congenial spirit about them. That's why they have huge TV programs. And one guy made the statement, he's got two or three private jets, and somebody's giving him a hard time about it. And he said, listen, my message is so important. He said, don't you think that Jesus, if he was here on earth, he wouldn't be riding a donkey today. He'd be in his own private jet because his message is so important. I thought about that for a minute, and I said, nah, I'm not really sure about that one. What about you? I don't mind when people sell truthful books and they benefit from that, or maybe they have a larger ministry and they benefit from it and God blesses them financially. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm gonna tell you what, you're gonna find that not only is there a problem with their theology, there's a problem with their popularity, and there's also a problem with their idea of making merchandise of the people of God, that they're not really after the person, they're after what they have. They want to prostitute the gospel for their own ends. So not only do I find that there are false prophets, but I hasten tonight, there are faithful preachers. Notice what John says in verse 6. We are of God. He's assured of that. He didn't make any bones about it. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Here's what he's saying. That word knoweth there is the know not of relationship but fellowship. This is the person that not only knows God in salvation, but they are close to God. They're in fellowship with God. They are hearing from God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Do you know how we hear them? Through the pages of the Word of God, because it is them, the we are of God people, the apostles, John and Peter and Paul, that God used through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to give us what we have as the truth of God's Word found in the Bible. And friend, I'm just here to tell you, it doesn't matter what anybody says, if it doesn't line up with this book, it's not true. Amen. We are of God, John says. And he that knoweth God, they're in fellowship with God. They listen to us. Friend, listen. We ought to listen to the Bible. I want to be leery of anybody. I want to be leery of anybody that tells me that I don't need a Bible. Listen, I want you to bring your Bible. I want you to check me out. I want you to follow through the Scriptures. I want you to take notes. If you have a question, I want you to ask it. Why? Because we want to grow in truth. That's why. So, there are a couple tests that determine, or several tests that determine the faithful preacher, those that would be of God. Number one, they agree with the Word of God, as I just said. He that knoweth God heareth us. You know what? Look back at verse number 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That He is God come in flesh. That He is the God-man, the Redeemer of mankind, the sinless Son of God who took to Himself a human nature and a human body that He might die for the sins of the world, that He bodily rose again, that He ascended back to glory, that He's coming again. My, those are the, and that it's His blood that atoned for our sins. They agree with God, what the Bible says. You see, God's preacher will say the same thing that God's Word says. Now, they don't deny the Bible. They preach the Bible. They uphold the Bible. They elevate it. Listen, you can't put too much emphasis on the Word of God. How do you know? Because God said that He's elevated it above all, magnified it above all His name. You can't love this book too much. Not only would they agree with the Word of God, they'll be controlled by the Spirit of God. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Preacher, does that mean that everything you've always preached is right on? Well, I pray that the majority of it is. Have I ever went to a passage and thought, wonder how I arrived at that, and re-looked at it and maybe arrived at a different conclusion in some areas that are not major doctrinal areas? Absolutely. I don't know any preacher that hasn't. And by the way, we ought to be honest when the Bible corrects us. Wouldn't you agree? I can remember one time I was getting ready to preach on a passage, and I preached on it before, and I pulled out my old notes and began to look at them, and I thought, where in the world did that come from? I threw the whole thing away. Went at it again in a different direction. Because we want the Bible to correct us and grow us. You know what a true preacher of God will do? He will never raise a question mark in your mind about the truth of this book called the Bible. Never will. He'll be led of the Spirit of God. Somebody said the doctrine of Christ is like the seamless robe that He wore. It is of one piece. To rip it at any point is to damage the whole. And friend, to take the doctrine of Christ and to change it or to make it different than what God says is to damage the entire truth of who Jesus really is. And then watch this next. They appeal to the people of God. Notice what He says in verse 6. He said, He that is not of God heareth not us. The people that know God hear us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Do you know that when I'm preaching the Word of God from the Bible, and you're looking at your Bible, and you're in tune with the Lord, and I'm in tune with the Lord, as I preach the truth, there's someone inside of you saying, that's it. You need to believe that. Confirming the Word of God in the heart. As a young Christian, I was set in preaching, and the Holy Spirit would confirm in my heart as I looked at the Bible. There are some folks I've heard, and I didn't have that confirmation. I was looking at it and thinking, I'm not sure what he's saying is lining up with what that's saying. I need to look at that more closely. I need to ask a question. They appeal to the people of God, but you know what? They're going to be shunned by the world. Those who know God recognize the truth and lovingly and willingly receive the truth, but yet they reject those that are false. We've looked at false prophets. We've looked at faithful preachers. Can I close tonight by looking at fearless saints? Look, if you would, in verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, many times we take verse number 4 and we pull it up out of its context and we apply it, and we'll talk about how that maybe we're going through a tough time spiritually, or maybe we're fighting a spiritual battle, and we'll say something like, it's greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Is that true tonight? Amen. Absolutely it is. That you can pull that verse and because that is a statement of truth. I have one greater in me, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, than the spirit that's in the world, a false spirit. And so I know that. So we understand here that we're living in a world filled with every kind of error, but it doesn't have to cause me fear. I don't have to worry about being led astray. You know, a lot of times we realize that all this is out here and it'll bring fear to our hearts. Well, I don't want to believe in a lie. I don't want to be led astray. I want to be a person of the truth. I want to be a teacher of the truth. I want to teach my children the truth. I want them to hear the truth. God said you don't have to be afraid. First of all, because of relationship, you are of God. The person who has received Jesus Christ as Savior is already an overcomer. Did you know that? You're going to look at it over in chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You are already a winner in Jesus Christ. You already have the victory tonight. It's through relationship. And listen, we belong to God. And just as parents protect their children from hurtful things, so our Heavenly Father seeks to protect His children from that would harm them. He wants us to discern what is true and to be able to detect what is false. He wants us to take every doctrine, every teaching, every movement, every person that claims to speak for God and to test them according to the pages of the Word of God. And through our relationship with Him, we can be assured that He'll lead us into truth. Number two, there's a result. Notice He says, you're of God, little children, and watch this next statement, and have overcome. You've already overcome the false teachers. That's what He says. You've already overcome it. I don't have to succumb to the lies of Satan. I don't have to follow the spirit of Antichrist. I can follow the Holy Spirit. I can do that. I've overcome that. The tense of that verb indicates something that took place in the past and brings present results. We have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has already triumphed over Satan. He's defeated the devil and the forces of evil. And we have overcome the spirit of error in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? There is a reason. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Friend, listen. We have one that when He places the stamp of approval upon His divine truth, I can know that I have the truth and that I'm of the truth and that I'm living the truth because I have within me the Spirit of truth. And He's promised to guide us into all truth. Isn't that a wonderful fact tonight? The Holy Spirit is a lie detector and a truth discerner. And when a person is truly filled with the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about this nonsense that people want to claim is the filling of the Holy Spirit and it doesn't fall into the pages of the Word of God that is rightly divided. Anybody can make a passage say what they want it to say. They can work up a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. A lie detector and a truth discerner. The Holy Spirit can guide me into truth. He enables me to discern that is actually the truth of God. He can. Now you know what? Not everybody will receive that. I'm just going to tell you tonight, your experience is not necessarily the litmus test of truth. Well, I failed it. I don't care. I experienced it. I don't care. You ever thought the devil can make you experience stuff? He can give you feelings. Say, preacher, I don't like that. I don't care. It's what God says. He is a deceiver and He will give you a lie. He will. And lead you into a lie. Your experience, I don't care what you experienced. I don't care what I experienced. Because the experience is only valid as the truth of the Word of God rightly taught and understood. And that's when it becomes truth. Not because you failed it or experienced it. Because see, then you become the authority and not God. And you're not the authority and neither am I. God's the authority. I can't test your experience to know which spirit gave you that experience. I can't. But I can test it by the Word of God. Amen. And know whether or not it's the truth. And folks, we need to decide whether we want what we feel or what we think we experience or what God actually says. And we need to bring our lives into the alignment with the Word of God. Because then we know we have the truth and that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. There was a Native American convert many years ago, and he was there with his pastor, and they were traveling through an area, and there was a person over there on the street corner, and they were preaching, and this missionary pastor knew that that person was not the truth, and he watched his Native American convert walk over there and began to listen to what he says, and he was very concerned about whether or not he was going to be led astray by this guy that was seemingly very, very apt and smooth in his words and how he shared things. And later, after it was all over, the Native American convert came back over to the missionary and he said, "Well, what'd you think?" He said, "He wasn't real." He said, "How'd you know?" He said, "Because all the while he was speaking, something was in my heart saying, 'Liar, liar, liar.'" Folks, when we know the truth and we're of God, we can then walk in the truth. And John is concerned that his children walk in truth. He wrote 3 books in the Bible all about it. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And he says in 2 John, he said, "I have no greater joy that my children walk in truth." Let's determine to be people of truth. 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 And the truth is in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight.